Action Park Media.
All right, welcome to Victory, the podcast. I'm Doug Ellis.
I'm Kevin Connolly.
All right, and we've got the Sklar brothers coming up who were on season four.
Season four. It's Gary's Desk.
Gary's Desk is the episode, which, I mean, I don't want to get into any of that, but Gary Busey had some troubles this week. So
I think Gary Busey's just got a lot of troubles, man.
He does. And, you know, I obviously don't want to weigh in on anything.
Yeah,
I hope it's not true.
That's neither here nor there. Yeah. But Gary's Desk is the title of the episode. We go to get, the guys are getting E a present for the Murphy Group, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And then we get into this interesting story with the Sklar brothers. And these guys are twins. They're comedians. Be interesting to hear what they have to say. I'm sure they have...
Yeah, we'll talk to them about the episode, and this won't be the breakdown of that episode. This will just be with the Sklar, so we'll talk about other things. But what's interesting about me, I listened to the Entertainer podcast the other day, and apparently you and Zulai watched this new show, Echoes.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to bring that up to them. I'm curious if they've seen it.
Okay, we'll bring it up to them as well, but I haven't seen it yet, but it's the number one show on Netflix.
Oh, is apparently. That true?
Yeah, it's trending.
It's trending. See, streaming. It's funny. We watched it like super early, so I was like, is this just like a dumb show? Or we, I didn't
a
know
lot
what
of the reviews says it's dumb and addicting. So
right, it just maybe it's could be a little bit hard to believe, but it's funny. I don't want to ruin anything, but you know, it's one of those shows where you're trying so hard to understand what's happening that, and I tell Zula, it's like maybe you're not supposed to understand right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right. There's supposed to be a little bit of confusion or whatever it is. You know what
well,
I mean?
You know what David Frankel, who directed our pilot, said.
Confusion is the death of comedy. Yeah. This is not a comedy.
So I don't think you should ever be finished with a show and confused. Now, maybe there's multiple interpretations.
But it's not a comedy either.
No, but I'm saying in a drama either. I don't think you want to. I don't think confusion. Whatever
I'm going to say is going to ruin it. And I don't want to do that.
Right, so
but you should watch it. And then we'll talk about it after you watch it.
Is there a second season coming or that's it?
That's a good question. That's a good question. I'm sure if it's trending number one, they will figure out a way to do another
season. But for some reason, and I think the episode that we're going to talk to these guys about is where Ari really can't tell them apart. And some other things are going on with one of them is having sex with the other twin's wife. So I don't know anything about this show, but you had a fight with Zulai over this show.
No, right? We didn't have a fight. I just think but towards the end of it, we had different was it a fight?
Interpretations?
Different interpretations of how it happened.
She said you called her a simpleton.
I did not.
Oh, that's not true.
That is not true. Are you kidding?
By the way, Theo is trying to escape the
thing. Theo's now in love with Scott.
All right, so what happened at Action Park? There's also some behind-the-scenes shit going on. Theo, the dog here that Stock Dip Dave adopted from a shelter.
Yeah, Dave is just like one of those guys where it's like he goes out of town.
He abandoned his dog.
And he sticks the dog with either Kira. This time Scotty's got Theo. And it's not just enough that Scotty has got to watch the dog, but then Scotty's got to just like, it's just like dealing with Dave constantly checking in. The guy gets 25 text messages.
So he's very neurotic, like almost like he's got a baby there.
Or he just likes to talk and he's bored.
So Scotty, right? How does this go down though? Is it part of your job description that you have to handle?
No, they're friends.
He asked me to watch Theo probably 4.5 months ago and then didn't bring it up until 2 days before he left in August.
Right.
So it was a long timeline that I had agreed to this.
Okay. And also, Scotty, you're
right. Dave booked his flights for this trip for 6 months ago. And Scotty's like, sure, in August, yeah, I'll watch the dog. And then it's like, all right, when am I dropping the dog?
I was like, I'll come up with an excuse by by August 22nd.
All right, but Scotty, you're a single man, correct?
I am.
Okay. He likes to hit the bottle and the club
scene.
Not the
bottle, but I mean, he's a single guy. He's social. He's going out.
But I'm just saying, what happened last night? You guys were going out, and I think Scotty kind of maybe forgot about Theo.
Well, it's the same thing. I'm like, yo, Dave, we went somewhere where we had to sit outside because Dave brought Theo, and they wouldn't let us sit inside with the dog. I love Theo. I just don't think he should dictate where we sit in a restaurant. And Scotty doesn't want to bring Theo to Justin Queso's. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, it was Dantana's where I didn't bring Theo. I went home, dropped him off, and then went down to Queso's yesterday. But Dantana's was the real issue.
Is Justin Queso a person or
no?
A
it's
place?
A it's a bar. It's a bar.
Okay,
Mexican
so
bar
you want, but you wanted to go out last night, but what Theo had not.
Well,
been
he had
fed,
to go or? And he had to make an extra stop. And Scotty's not used to having to make an extra stop to drop the dog off that isn't his to then come back to the bar. Scotty said I was this close to just sitting down on the couch and not coming back to the bar because he was already home. But when we went to Dantana's, I'm like, yo. Scotty, you can't bring Theo to Dantana's. You got to leave him. So we literally built, which was ridiculous that it took that much time. We had to build like a box wall so he wouldn't go down in the basement. And we had to close this door. We just did everything to ensure.
And Stockton Theo's, was not happy though, right?
Well, his GPS thing died. So Dave didn't know.
Dave has a GPS collar on Theo that can determine his location.
But the battery died. So Dave didn't. And Dave thought we were joking when we said that we left him here. But left him. The dog was homeless for 6 years. The dog's got a great life. There's been
what's wrong with leaving him in the studio?
In the studio.
Beautiful, giant
beautiful
studio.
Air conditioned studio with couches and the water. Yeah. But of course, Theo, like Dave, managed to get himself locked into the bathroom. Like the door was open a crack and he was like nosing around. He went into the bathroom and he got locked in the bathroom. So we got
such a crew here, but a couple of things. First of all, Scotty, are you now more attached to Theo than you were before?
I'm less attached to Theo.
And what about to Stockton? More or less?
Less attached.
Okay, all right.
He's wearing fan on.
And then we got also, which is, we got a couple of side notes on this, but we were going to get, because we've had a big day today, we're going to get a little extra content. We finally, Mike Young, who's got a wealth of stories to tell. He's opened up for Sebastian.
Yeah, but also Mike was involved in the early days of Entourage in the sense where, like, he was the one mutual friend that you and I had.
Yeah, who never
introduced
us.
He was pushing. I mean, you know, Mike's got Entourage stories. And we'll talk about it when we get him on.
But
Mike swears that Larry Charles signed off on him for Vince. Scotty, what did I say? I said, Mike, you tell that story on the podcast, I'm going to body bag you.
Yeah. Here's the good news. Mike Young doesn't listen to this podcast. The only time he talks to me, which is how I know we're successful, is when he wants a guest appearance on the pod. It's the only thing he says to me. He doesn't even say, how are you? How's the new baby coming? Congrats on the engagement. He just says, I want to be on the podcast. So fine.
We'll get
today,
on the podcast.
Today, I said, you're on the podcast, but it was a busy day over here at Action Park, apparently he couldn't wait around. So
I flagged it. I said, we cannot do this episode.
On right now. We could have done it. But anyway, it doesn't matter.
He doesn't want to do a partial episode. He wants to do a full episode.
He doesn't.
He wants a full 45.
Okay, but let me stay on the
point.
With
an ad read.
Let me stay on the point that Mike Young also didn't want to read for Entourage because at the time he was feeling like things were going really well in his stand-up career. So I don't think he ever, number one, I'm not sure he ever read. So his story though.
Let him burn himself.
I can't tell this now, but I can tell because he's not going to hear it. The fact of the matter is I did not know Larry Charles when we shot the pilot of Entourage. So Larry Charles could not
have weighed in on his Vince reading.
Yes. Larry Charles did not come into Entourage until the pilot was finished, shooting, completed, done. And
well,
Adrian
hopefully he doesn't
Vince.
Listen to the podcast, but you should let him tell that story.
By the way, I might
have to cut it because what if he does? It's going to be such a great setup.
No, he's not going to listen, but we'll, you know what? We'll record him before this airs. Cause we got a couple weeks before this airs.
Gotcha.
But it's going to be like, I mean, we just saw it with what's his face. Who got nailed on the stand. How am I blanking his name?
Alex Jones.
Got nailed on the stand. Lying,
Amber Heard, a couple
you know,
people.
Like,
getting...
It's like a jagged edge moment.
Perry Mason. But he is, I, when he told the story, I was like, Mike, what are you talking about? He's so confident. He's going to walk right into the trap and it's going to be bad.
But I also think that's what's also interesting because I don't actually think he's lying. I think he believes this story is 100% true. And that's why I've always had a problem with these stories that come out from 30 years ago and people say this, that, and the other thing.
It's what we talk about, how it's different looking back at Entourage episodes all these years later because everybody has a different recollection of it. I don't think anybody's lying. That's just how he remembers it. But how he remembers that is psychotic because it didn't happen.
It did not happen, but like he's convinced himself.
He really is. And that maybe there was some version of it, I don't know, but let him tell the story and then just let him.
But you have to remember, which he talked about it on the Kevco podcast, and we're going to talk about it again because it really was, I was very intimately involved in this story. But Mike Young has an absolutely incredible Hollywood story that's kind of hard to believe. You can hear it on the Kevco story.
You can hear the deep dive on Kevco.
But I'm going to dive with it a little bit myself.
It was
my idea to actually bring up the story that day, and then you took
it
for your Kevco.
No, that's not true.
Wasn't trying to tell the story, but you were not trying to get him on the Kevco podcast. Anyway, I'm going to put him on this Victory podcast, and we're going to get that story.
We'll see.
Because it relates It relates to a drama story that I actually came up with when they hung drama out of the thing. It came from Mike Young, and we'll talk about that.
Came from Vanilla Ice and Suge Knight.
Obviously, the hanging him over the balcony did, but the idea that he brought the Burke Williams gift certificate, which Mike Young did in
amazing.
A somewhat similar situation, was directly from Mike Young. So Mike Young will have a lot of stories, and we'll get him on. But just like he used to do at The Office, because Mike Young, was at The Office every day, season 2 and 3. And he wanted to be involved with the show somehow, but all he would do is eat the free catered lunch when it would show up and then tell stories about whoever he was dating.
How great he is.
Yeah. Whatever. So I'm excited to get him on. But anyway, what else, Scotty? You got anything before the Sklar brothers come on?
Not off the top of my head.
Where is Theo, by the way? Have you lost track?
He's sitting under my feet.
All right.
I am so happy to welcome an amazing new sponsor to the show. I'm talking about Sheath Underwear. Have you or your friends had trouble finding comfortable underwear? I know I have. Underwear that is focused on your comfort with no chafing, no sticking, no drama. And designed so that everything fits exactly where it should, if you know what I mean. If yes, then you have to try Sheath Underwear. It all starts with Sheath's dual pouch system, a concept that was developed by the company's founder after enduring a summer in Iraq, day after day of triple-digit heat and unbearable chafing and discomfort. Founder and CEO Robert Patton felt there had to be a better way, and now there is. When I first saw it, I thought, this is genius. My friends tell me all you do is put them on, and gravity handles the rest. The dual pouch comfortability cradles you, just like a hammock for the family jewels. And don't forget to check out our newest additions, the Bamboo 5 and the Mesh Boxer Brief. I know that I'll be wearing my Sheath underwear for my 7:30 roller hockey game tomorrow night. It's a whole new world of comfort and performance. And Sheath underwear is all about supporting shows like ours and supporting free speech. So make sure you give Sheath underwear a try. Go to sheathunderwear.com now and use promo code VICTORY to receive 20% off today. That's sheathunderwear.com and use promo code VICTORY for 20% off. All right, welcome back, Victory, the podcast. Before we go to the Sklar brothers, I mean, we forgot. We've got a segment.
I didn't forget.
We've got a segment. We've got our
prep for this all week.
Yeah, I bet you did. We got our DraftKings Sportsbook app segment. All right, now let's talk about last week. All right, okay,
A couple of things we got to say last week. Connolly, you know, he goes off and goes and makes a movie, so he's busy. So some of the clips don't get cut. I made a bad pick, a losing pick last week. Now Connolly sends it to me yesterday. He's like, hey, I want you to post this. I'm like, you want to post that I picked the Rams to crush the Bills when it's already over and I just look like a complete and utter jerk?
Honestly, to me, that wasn't even the bad part. The bad part was you guys criticizing and accusing me of betting with my heart with the Dolphins.
Believe you were.
No. Well, obviously I was right because my pick hit, your pick didn't. But I didn't want to get into it that day, but you know, I don't know if you ever noticed this about the games in Miami, but those morning games in South Beach, the opposing team is in the sun and the Dolphins are in the shade. So it's like 105 degrees on one side. It's just a major advantage, I think. First game of the season.
They switch at the half. I mean, you're saying by half.
No, they don't switch their sides.
Oh, their sidelines?
The opposing team's sideline in Miami is
in direct sun. Now you got to understand, Connolly, who's...
I knew that.
This is not even making fun of you. This is just reality. But Connolly is light-skinned, Irish, and doesn't do well in the sun.
Right, so I'm aware of that, yeah.
You believe there's
believe
a lot
that
of guys.
For me, that weighed really heavy on my soul. Yeah.
I remember when we shot at Yankee Stadium, Mark Teixeira.
It was hot.
Sat out in the, I had a heat stroke, okay? But Mark Teixeira sat out signing autographs in the 102 degrees the entire day and then hit 2 home runs after. I don't think these guys are affected by the sun.
Listen,
on the
sideline.
As
I'm making my pick, I like to have a little tidbit of information.
And you
and
think
I just,
that you had something.
I thought I had something.
I mean, I think what you have more is the Dolphins happen to play the Patriots well at home, which, okay, I get it. I don't believe in Tua. I don't think he looked very good. I think they should have won by 30 if he did look good. And of course, the Patriots, I guess, are concerned. But
let's talk about week two.
We're not going to get into the game last night. I mean,
We'll close out with our picks. But yeah, so all right. Yeah, and I know it's a game for you too, because Doug's not a big Russell Wilson fan anymore. So did you find yourself rooting against Russell?
I did.
You did. You found yourself.
Is that sad?
Well, I mean, again, while we're as we're talking about whatever DraftKings and gambling, right? That's a money line game.
Yeah.
That killed people.
Yeah.
I'm guessing.
But what I guess. By the way, I picked Seattle to cover that also, which you didn't make a video about that.
Right.
But I picked Seattle to cover that game. And what I realized is, forgetting the Russell thing, or I don't know if you saw his pregame outfit, though.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
I mean, it's absurd.
He's trying
really hard, and you should try on the field. But what I realized is during my friendship with Russell all those years, the Giants were flailing, and I sort of became like my backup team was the Seahawks.
Well, of course, because your buddy's on the team. So, yeah. Like, right, you root for them. Right.
And I like the town of Seattle. I like the stadium.
DK Metcalf came on our podcast.
And yep. By the way, Geno Smith looked unbelievable, which now it's going to lead to the same questions. Okay, was it all Brady or Belichick? Was it all Pete Carroll or Russell? I don't know.
I don't know, but it is interesting that at that last play, they opted to not go with him again, which I think is strange.
It was insane, and I actually tweeted, give the ball to Marshawn. But, I mean, I really can't believe that the guy did not let him throw for 5 yards. And burned. I guess he burned it because he was going for a game-winning field goal. But what I saw the stats are 3 of 42 or something are the last 64-yard field goals. So, I mean, I thought he knew something like this guy just doesn't miss. And then he got a free shot at it because they called a penalty. But
it was long enough. He just missed it.
Yeah. So anyway.
Are you feeling humbled as we approach this week's picks? Well, are you feeling humbled?
No, because of one thing. And
are you more confident in your week two pick?
Well, I'm more confident because I got to see a little stuff. The preseason is meaningless. None of these guys played. The Bills looked like they were ready for the Super Bowl. So
I'll say I misjudged the Bills. I knew the Bills were going to be good. I didn't know they were going to be good.
Well, I think I said during my pick that the Bills are going to be excellent. I just thought the Rams were going to beat them. But I still think that the Bills are definitely the Super Bowl favorite in the AFC. So anyway, for the week.
So DraftKings Sportsbook app has some cool different things, which is fun, right? So you can. We're gonna go do some same game parlays that are a little not as traditional as you and I usually pick. All right. So I like this one. It's +370, but I'm going with the Bengals versus the Cowboys. Right, taking the Bengals on the money line. Total points are going to be odd numbered, and the over is 43.5. What do you think of the odd numbered? I don't know. I guess at that point it's a coin toss, but at +370, I like it.
I mean, you know, the parlays are tough. So I'm not going to sit here and get arrogant. And by the way, we should have saved this for the Sklars because they do a lot of sports stuff and they probably would have had some good insight, but we'll be with them in a second. But
what do you got?
So I've got
the Chiefs winning the game, obviously.
I've got the Chiefs winning the game outright.
Outright, of course. Okay.
So, which is obviously they're favored. So I got to give up something for that. But the over 29.5 total points
for the Chiefs.
Okay. And I said it last week. I believe Mahomes, it's like they acted like Tyreek Hill. He was going to never be able to throw the ball again. This guy's one of the best quarterbacks of all time.
Right.
And I think he's going to be right there for MVP of the season. And I think the Chiefs are going to be right there at the end of the season.
All right. So you got the Chiefs. You got the Chiefs going over 29.5. Just the Chiefs.
Just the Chiefs.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
And I think the Chargers are going to score too, but that's not involved with my pick. So, and then I've got the Chiefs money line. And then.
That's it. What are you, +150?
+150.
+150. All right. So that's a good, these are good picks. We'll play it. We'll play it kind of safe. We'll get Dylan, who's of course not here. He's traveling, whatever it is.
Making movies.
We're going to get him to call his pick in. We're going to have him call his pick in. We'll use that as a social media clip. Okay. So that's it. That's download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the promo code. What is it, Doug? VictoryPod. Promo code VictoryPod.
He didn't fill me in on that.
$200 in free bets instantly when you place the first $5 bet on any football game. But we want them using our promo code.
Yes.
VictoryPod.
Use VictoryPod. Get that $200. I need it, by the way, Kev, because the market is collapsing, the stock market. So I'm betting big. So.
Well, go big on this parlay. I love it. Okay. We are back with the Sklar Brothers. Thank you.
Welcome back, Victory, the podcast. I'm excited. We've got, aside from our opening before you see, and I don't know if either of you saw this new show that I am going to start watching tonight, but Echoes is apparently this identical twin thriller with Michelle Moynihan that I have not seen.
You should watch it.
I mean, how do we get slated into this goddamn thing, right? It already happened.
How could they cast this without you guys?
What are they thinking?
Even though it's a woman, what a bunch of bullshit.
What in the world?
Mean, you know,
we're going to talk
why didn't we even get a look? Can we claim anti-Semitism?
We're gonna deep dive.
Let's go deep.
Let's talk about them. You guys started telling a story. This always happens on a podcast.
Yeah.
The best stories happen in the lobby.
No.
And you're like, now
shut
I'm
up.
Just like, everybody
shut up.
Stop.
Everybody
so,
shut up.
Do you see now what's so sad about my life is? Mm-hmm. He was my employee, and now I'm his.
I know.
So he yells at me
the
like,
tables have turned.
The guys show up. I haven't seen you guys in years. I'm trying to catch up and have a conversation.
Be humans.
Colleen's like, shut the fuck up. Don't say a word.
We're catching up right now.
We're catching up right now, and we're catching up.
We'll make it real.
You
know, drama on Entourage, which I think I wrote something similar to this, he said about theater, like, bro, it's not real acting if no one's recording it or something like that. And Connolly believes that. Why even waste any
in
time?
In the world of podcasting, we know this. Yeah, you know, you don't want to waste it in
save
the, you don't want to waste the locker room talk for the locker
and
room.
And you guys have a podcast. You want to tell us about that?
Yeah, I mean, we have a couple podcasts. Dumb People Town, which is us just going through the world's dumbest stories. We should have both of you guys come on and
we'd
do
love
that
it.
With our buddy Dan Van Kirk. And then we do a weekly sports podcast called View from the Cheap Seats, which is somewhat hearkening back to our old show, which is kind of relevant because we have a new show, The Nosebleeds, on UFC Fight Pass. We'll talk about that
and
later.
Where are you guys? Like where are you guys? Where do you guys set up shop? Where do you guys set up shop?
Kyle's trying to steal you from Action Park Video. Might have a bigger offer.
That's
a larger thing. Later, no, maybe. We should talk later. But no, we do it at Starburns, which we'd had been there for a while. It was Dan Harmon's company. And then, you know, he split from them, but we've stayed there. Okay. But, you know, whatever.
We'll see what happens.
So I'm interested in this whole situation. You guys have obviously embraced the idea of being twins. You're funny as hell. You do stand up. You've had sports shows on ESPN.
We have.
You've acted in many things. Yeah. So at what two things did you grow up as children? Because some people like,
did we grow up as children?
Yes.
Last question after.
No,
as kids.
No. I
let
was still
finish.
Going.
Let him finish.
I was still going.
Let him finish.
I was still going. I still can hold a thought.
Grew up as children.
Can hold a thought. It's like the jerk. I was born a small black
that's
child.
That's usually the first step.
Sure.
Yes.
Born, then
so
kids.
Were you guys close as children? I know twins go through certain things where it's like, okay, we got to separate a little bit.
Yeah.
And were you close as kids? At what point did you say, let's make a business together? How did that work?
Well, so those are great questions.
See that, Colin?
Very good question.
Took you long enough. It only took him a half hour to get
it out. The guy eventually got there. So our parents are very smart about the way they raised. First of all, raised in St. Louis, Missouri, there was like no one in our lives or family even remotely doing entertainment. So no one was like, you didn't have an Uncle Jeff who moved to LA to do stand-up. And you're like, oh, well, let's just follow in his footsteps. Nobody. And we just, so we were twins, which was interesting back in the day. I mean,
there weren't that many.
Pre-fertility drugs.
It was a more of a rare thing, and we were identical.
So you guys are all natural.
Yes, natural twins. And we were, in a sense, there was a lot of attention on us, and we loved that attention. We loved talking to adults. We loved being funny. We just loved it. Our parents did a smart thing. They put us in two separate rooms, so we had our own individual time.
To jerk
time
off.
Yeah, sorry.
Did I say that?
Yes. I say the quiet part
out
loud.
You need that time to yourself. So, but the other point of that is that we never felt like we were on top of each other and needed to, you know, get away from each other. And
that was a smart move. They were like, you guys should rely on each other, but don't be dependent on each other, which is a very nuanced for even parenting in the 70s and 80s. That was super smart. I give them a lot of credit. They weren't these like new agey parents. We were like lower middle class St. Louis. Our dad was a salesman. He worked at a paper company and
like the office.
Mom was a teacher.
Like Dunder Mifflin, yeah.
But they were smart about us. And they were like, just you guys don't fight in public. And which is so funny because like some of the biggest scenes in your show, we were fighting on the show, like physically fighting. But they were just like, they were smart about the way they handled us. Meantime, we
also, I will say this, this is not to get too deep and
I like
intense.
No.
A year before we were born.
Yeah, this is interesting.
Our parents had a baby girl. She died days after she was born.
Sorry.
Heartbreaking. A year to that day, the universe gives our parents two healthy babies. So their entire philosophy for our entire lives, as long as our dad was alive and our mom to this moment, is holy crap.
Miracle.
We have these two miracles.
Yeah.
The universe paid us back. They took from us. They ripped our hearts in two. And then a year later, they gave us these two things. So their attitude towards us for their entire lives was, we are so lucky to have you.
You know, that's really awesome because I have two older brothers and I was supposed to be the girl. And I think my parents' attitude.
And you are.
My parents' attitude the entire time was you were supposed to be a girl. And
right.
I don't know that I was quite the miracle.
You aren't the miracle. You were a miracle in a different direction.
They wanted you to be a girl. No, listen.
Negative miracle.
I just had a baby. And for me, and it sounds like the cliche, but all you could really ask for is a healthy baby.
That's it.
Boy, girl. People say, what do you want? I said, I don't want anything.
Healthy.
I want healthy.
Healthy.
I don't care.
Guys, don't react insanely. I'm having a baby.
Oh!
And I'm not even a crazy Hollywood person. I don't even understand it. I'm excited, obviously, and I want healthy.
The beauty, it opens you up in ways that...
I have two.
Oh.
They're one's 21 and one's 18.
Therein lies the problem.
So I'm saying why
he's got
why
two.
Why are you going back to the well?
This is incredibly stupid.
What?
You know, I put this on par with like guy who has secret second family. Yeah. Like I understand a side piece, I understand a mistress. It totally makes sense. But second family,
secret second family.
Dumbest shit I've ever heard in my entire life. Really? You want to go to four back to school nights? Fine.
No woman is worth it.
Do you remember after 9/11, the janitor from 9/11 who died? They found out he had
a second family.
Second family, and nobody knew about it. I'm like. Who has the fucking energy?
He was the only guy who was like, when the plane was coming, he was like, thank God. I'm out of this situation. No, the Chilean miners. Remember when they were trapped?
Yes.
And like the woman came and the mistress came and it was like, okay. You got
He's like, can I stay down in this
like,
well?
He's like, I'll be the last man out.
There's one guy out. Sure. He doesn't want to come out.
He's going
and
back in.
You guys are sports guys, so I know you know this. I don't know if Colin knows this, but Walter Payton, you know the story?
Yeah, Sweetness.
What about him?
Sweetness, at his Hall of Fame induction, his mistress was sitting behind his fucking family.
No way.
Yes.
It's probably pretty common.
He has the best.
At the Hall of Fame induction ceremony?
Or at things, at events. Like, it's strange. I mean, she's off.
Sweetness has the best quote that we use regularly in our lives. When you're good, you tell everyone. When you're great, they tell you. Mm. That was his thing.
That is a good
sweet
quote.
Good one. And apparently he got that from his mistress.
But I also don't think he was that sweet, actually. Probably. He was a little bit angry. But yeah. All right. So they were, to finish up,
they were super excited to have us and super excited. And that was kind of
they supported us.
The general specter of who we became super like fans of comedy. We just loved it. I remember our parents brought home Airplane. On VHS.
I love that
we're Airplane. Big huge. Airplane guys.
So they brought home an Airplane on VHS and we invited people over. So we had families of people over to watch it. Like we had never done that for any other movie. So as a kid, you see this and you're like, well, that's important. This is so important. Like, when have we ever
Blazing
done this?
Blazing Saddles was another big movie in our growing up.
They're all canceled, by the way.
All of them.
I actually just got
Airplane would be a tough sell, right?
Blazing Saddles. I literally from my high school chat less than an hour before I got here. I have a thing that says the edited version of Blazing Saddles is on tonight. Like they have to announce that it's edited.
Meanwhile, Richard
Pryor
wrote it. Yeah. So Richard Pryor, if he would have gone out in front of it, probably if it came out today, would be like, I wrote this.
Yeah, and these by the way, it was very clearly a liberal's take on racism and trying to move the needle forward.
Who were the idiots? You know, the town of Rockridge. Yeah. They were the idiots. Exactly. They were so dumb they didn't even know what they were doing. So the smart guy was the sheriff.
It's third rail stuff that you just can't even...
You can't touch. You see this Drew Barrymore thing? Who commonly did a movie with Drew Barrymore.
We know Drew Barrymore.
So Drew Barrymore just... She posts... Again, I don't want to weigh in until I get full details. She posts a video of her dancing in the rain. And apparently an African-American woman was so offended because last year some African-American did TikTok videos of dancing in the rain and basically came out with this video accusing her of
stealing
overt
that?
Racism, cultural. Well, I mean, but it's like this giant story now and everything. Same thing with the Little League Baseball World Series. Did you see that?
Oh, they're putting the stuffing of the outside.
Yeah, so
the
they show out. Like three white kids with their black teammate who are apparently they're best friends with, and they were putting some stuff in his hair.
Oh, I saw that.
So they only showed that part of it, and then later it came out that there's actually videos of them putting it in everyone's hair and just the world.
I will say that picture didn't look great.
Of course not.
There was no context for it, okay, but it didn't look great.
But then everyone starts attacking a bunch of 12-year-old kids.
You gotta have the full, I'm a big fan of, let's hear the full story of everything, and that's what it is. But there's a lot in those movies that would not hold up today. There's a lot in music, but also stand-up. Like, we were the HBO Rodney Dangerfield Young Comedian Specials with Seinfeld on it and Sam Kinison on it, and Dice was on one later,
but he was amazing.
Dom Herrera was on
later. I love Dom.
Dom, amazing. Love. Good friend. All those guys. So in those moments, we just started watching stand-up and loving stand-up. And we thought, we can do stand-up. What if we did stand-up? What if we
but
love
never
it?
Even were like, hey, what if I go on stage and then you go on stage? Or should we? We didn't even have a discussion. We're like, let's just do it. Let's stand up on stage. Again, there was no...
How do you guys do it? Do you go, you don't do together all the time. All the time.
So
I have to come see you guys.
You have to. Yeah. So all the time we were together. And what we tried to figure out was a new way to do it. There really were no twins doing it.
Right.
So that there wasn't like, hey, let's do it like these people do it. Or hey, let's not do it like they do it. There wasn't even like a bad example for us to run away from.
So we just had to figure out what it was. And over time, we did. We started in high school. We did stand-up in high school, and we were terrible. And then we did it in college, and we were getting a little bit better. And then we decided to move to New York. We were going to go to law school. Both of us got into law school, ready to go. And then we told our—
Where were you going? I almost went.
I almost went to Emory. I got into Emory.
I didn't get into—
I got into George good. Washington, yeah. which was in yeah. D.C. I mean, these are good law schools. And we had to tell our Midwest Jewish parents, hey, we're not going to go to law school. We're going to do a job we could have done out of high school.
Same thing with Doug. Doug had the same thing.
And my mother— and my mother cried. I mean, for
Did
real.
Did she cry? Yeah, yeah, so we hedged our bets.
She cried when I was moving to L.A. and not going to law school. But where did you go to undergrad?
So into Michigan. So huge Michigan fans. Great school.
Sorry, you guys are smarter than me.
That's a real— you see, notice how I'm super quiet over here. Well, I barely squeaked out of high school. So
you got your own studio now.
I know. I mean, here's the thing. Like, two of our one of the best writers I know.
Thank you.
Smartest. Aside from you, didn't go to college or dropped out of college. And then one of the best comics we know, smartest people we know, he dropped out of college. It's like—
Well, listen, it's first of all, when we were— I think you guys are a little younger than me. When we were growing up, college, and I wanted to go to Michigan, and I did not get into Michigan. I went to Tulane, which is a good school, but
great school.
It was inconceivable for a Jewish kid anywhere in this country to say they weren't going to college. I do think, especially with our kids coming up now, that it really is a much lesser important scenario. And it's certainly, if you want to be in Hollywood,
it's now gotten to the point where it's so expensive that people are like, well, what
is it worth?
Is it worth it? If you don't want to be there, if you want to do something else, why would you?
I mean, it's a gift.
By the way, start a business.
Right.
Start a business.
Unfortunately, the government won't give you money for free to do that, though. They will give you money for a bad liberal arts degree.
Maybe.
Listen, when we were of that age coming up, if there was the world where you went to college and then you got out of college and you got a job, and now that's not guaranteed.
Definitely not guaranteed. Right. You could start the business. I mean, everybody who grew weed in their basement is now a fucking millionaire.
Right. Unless they're in jail.
Right. No, but they're doing it legally, or they're figured out a way to have like a grow house or a this or that. And you're like, what are they doing? Well, they were just planting the seeds, literally and figuratively, for what their business was going to be later.
I have some good drug dealer friends from high school who have— they're very successful people. Yes. They were good businmen, you know? Yes. I mean, I don't even want to say drug dealers, weed dealers.
Right. They were just— they were just—
So did you guys ever look back? We know the ups and downs of this business. Were you ever in a place where you're like— because I did right before Entourage, and I had already made two movies that came out. Mm-hmm. My career was over. I could not get a single thing, and I was like, okay, I got the LSAT book. I'm like, I guess I'm going to go back. And I was 31 with a child and a second on the way. Yeah. Did you ever get to that place where you're like, this business is not working?
I mean, so first of all, I love hearing that story. I hate that you had to go through that, but I love hearing that story because for those people who their career is just an arrow pointing upwards.
Mark Wahlberg.
I love Mark Wahlberg. I probably wouldn't be able to relate to him. I actually really love him and think he's a great dude.
Great.
I just am like, dude, you're
we know people who just—
Yeah, but like he had ups and downs. He had some ups and downs. I'd say
most people do. What do you mean? Dude, I mean, dude, his career has been—
I mean,
to go thinking that you're gonna do music and then that doesn't—
I mean, he was like 19 when— I mean,
fair,
honestly,
but I'm just
again,
saying,
the guy busts his ass, so I'm not taking anything away from him.
I mean, I just wish he'd work out a little, but whatever. We can talk about that.
We all should— everyone on the planet should have a career like Mark.
We've had moments where, because I know you alluded to it at the beginning, it is very difficult to do what we're doing and have a career because we're twins and there's two people and it's hard to find the roles. We could even talk, and we'll get into how we got onto this show, which was amazing. You know, that happened in a bizarre sort of a way, but like, you know, it's hard to carve out the niche and blaze the trail for what this looks like as success. Mm-hmm. It's just super hard. Like there is no pathway for it. And so there were moments. I remember doing a pilot. We read for a pilot. It was such a good pilot. It was goddamn.
What do you mean we read for a pilot?
There was Roll for Twins that I was like, this is written for us. Holy shit.
But have you guys gone up for individual stuff
I did
against each other?
Yeah, I did Curb Your Enthusiasm. And
I know you've done things, but did you read for it also and you got it?
So we read.
In that case, I just got it.
He just got it. But Jeff Garland just gave it to him. But we read for a pilot for True TV that he got that never made it to series, but he was the lead in the pilot. It was fantastic. It was amazing.
A few years ago.
And I remember like he was shooting the pilot. And I got asked to host the signing of the stars, which was, remember that crazy event that University of Michigan had for Jeter's company like
Harbaugh,
Ric Flair and Migos and Brady and Jim Leland
Jeter.
And Jeter was there. I was like, So I hosted this thing. And again, we usually go on stage together. So for me to stand in front of 4,000 people and tens of thousands of people online watching this thing in front of all these people and deliver comedy that we had not tried out before. These are jokes we wrote for the thing. It was insane. Jay's in like the makeup chair. Yeah, I was like nervous. I had like almost the sweats watching him walk out on stage. But first joke hit, and I was like, all right, we're good.
This is wild. So it seems you guys, which, you know, we'll get to the entourage of it all because you guys are obviously antagonists in that episode of the show. Is there really, like, you guys, there's no jealousy, there's no anything? There's never been a time where one of you was up and one of you was down?
Absolutely. And that, to me, I think, lends to the texture of what you bring to the relationship. When someone's happy and someone, like, we don't both have to be in the same spot. It's kind of better when it's messy. We appreciate that. There's like when there's conflict of some sort, to me, as you know, as a writer.
We just did a thing on What We Do in the Shadows, which I love that show.
And Harvey Guillen is in the new pilot that we just did.
He's brilliant and hilarious and wonderful. I love that kid.
So we just did that show and we did four episodes, and it was a big episode. It led to a big episode that was this past week. And, you know, in the episode, my character, spoiler alert, gets eliminated quickly. And Randy's goes for the rest of the show. It really is his show. So I'm out of it at that point pretty quickly. I mean, we have a funny beginning, and then that's part of the joke. That, for us, we love moments like that where each of us can go into a different place and succeed, because what we want to be is we want to be the Beatles. We want to be, you know, he's good on his own and he's good on his own. And when they come together, they're fucking Voltron.
But how did that go down that they decided who they were going to
give one? We decided. So the audition came and we read it. And we were like, we just started reading through the audition. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm just feeling this character a little bit more. And Jay's like, I'm feeling this more. And as we start working on it and finding little nooks and crannies to get in and making decisions that make it specifically our own, as you know, you can't just walk. Anybody you've ever hired has made the choice that you're like, they got it.
Right.
This person got it. She figured this out and is doing something that we didn't even anticipate. And now she's like making an eye movement that we couldn't see. Those are the things you have to sort of get with. And we did on this thing, and we realized we weren't sure what was going to happen because we only saw the first couple scenes. That was all that was given to us.
And it's all improv, right?
No,
it's not.
That's scripted. Fully scripted.
I thought Harvey told me it was improv. Okay.
There's some improv. There's great. Like, you do it exactly.
Harvey's an improv guy too. Yes. He's not scared.
He's amazing. So yes, there's always room for that, and you get it, the lines right, and then they like, let's do a fun run and let's figure that out. But
and a lot of that stuff made it, I think.
So, but in the thing that we read, Jay's character gets, you know, he gets killed by a vampire. Now, you know, in certain other episodes, that person who gets killed comes back as a vampire. So we didn't know. Like, his, in our minds, his role could have been bigger than mine.
Right.
But then for the rest of the episode, he is dead. And then for the rest
of the episode. You rolled the dice on that when you came up short, huh?
or in the future, they bring him back. I mean, this episode was so big.
I got to check the show out. And Connelly's watching the show, which I'm going to start tonight. We just talked about with your brother. But
Echoes.
Yeah. Do you know what this is?
No. Apparently,
in simple form, because I haven't seen it, we don't want to give anything away, but apparently, twins switch lives every year
on their birthdays
without telling anybody else. Right.
So, and listen, your initial instinct was to laugh, right? And there is that element to it, but it gets you hook, line, and
sinker.
But
what I want to know,
I'm going, I don't even know if I like the show, but I have to watch it. Right.
It's an interesting idea. Yeah. Have you ever done it?
Hold on, wait a second. Just so you know what it is. So one lives the Hollywood lifestyle,
right?
LA, house in the hills, no kids, Range Rover. The other one lives in the country on a farm with kids and the whole family, and every year they switch out. So theoretically, they get the best of both worlds.
Gotcha. Right?
Yeah.
And then the lines get blurry. And then from there,
have you ever done
it?
No. God, no.
No. I mean, we
not even as a little gig. At a party, high school, nothing.
To switch places?
No, we didn't think in real life. You haven't really switched places for a year.
Well, it's my year. It's 97. We never did that.
Never did it
because even then, and maybe this is the beginnings of us trying to be respected comedians, just the very early origins, it felt like something other people did. We're like, this is too, it's hacky. You know what I mean?
I was thinking,
it's like prop comedy.
I've seen it.
Yes. The twins who switch. So if you come see us, which you'll come see us do stand up, we don't talk about being twins. The act is not about being twins. But what's inherent in the act is this notion of, and this goes to a larger story. There was a guy, our buddy Brad Meltzer, who's a best-selling author, great dude, said that he talked to and met this guy. I want to say his name is Simon Sinek. He did a great TED Talk, kind of about zeroing in on what is your purpose. And in the TED Talk,
I need to listen to that.
You need to listen to it. Crazy. I'll tell you why you need to listen to it, because I know you enough, not a ton, but enough to know that.
I have no purpose.
No, it's inside of you already, and it's already in your work, and it's already on your stuff. It's just about you, like brushing off, cleaning off home plate, and you'll see it clearly.
I'm gonna watch this tonight.
So, clean off home plate.
So,
right?
But the idea is this: outer ring.
Clean your home plate for you.
It's like a dartboard. outer ring is. I'm not doing this justice, but it's what you do, and then inside that, how you do it, how you approach your work, and what you do. In the center, the core is why you do what you do. So Brad met with this dude, and they just started talking, and for 3 hours, this guy asked him tons of questions, and he got to the core of what it is he does. And his thing was, you think regular people can save the world. That's what this guy said to Brad. Brad said, that's exactly true. It's true in all of his books. I know, I've read his books. I'm like, that's 100% true. So as Brad's telling me this, I'm thinking, what is our purpose? What is our thing? And I start asking us all the questions. I start thinking about the questions, and I'm like, this is it. This is the truth. And this is why it was so fun to play on your show on Entourage, because it was kind of the opposite. The thing that is our core belief is we are better together than we are alone. That's what we believe. That comes through in our stand-up. It's fun on stage to watch us. There's a little bit of wish fulfillment. People are like, I wish I had a guy who finished my sentence and thought, I wish I had something like that. It's fun. It's fun to be together. And we believe that on a bigger level. Like, that's why we are connectors in the comedy community, and we have lots of friends. It's why when we meet someone and we meet people, we gather them, we collect them. We are community builders. Awesome. That's who we are. So that is the point of our life. So to get to come on the show.
That's why Entourage as a show struck such a chord with us, because that's exactly what it is.
It's the point of the show. We are better together than we are alone. As soon as they start breaking apart, so that's why we connected with it. As soon as one person starts breaking off, they're hanging on the thread of this guy. If he breaks away, then we're not better together, because we're separate.
And I love that you see that, because the show is not, even though it is about Hollywood, it's not. It's about friendship. It's about loyalty, and it could be anywhere. So let's talk about my recollection. And earlier we were talking about a comedian, good friend of ours, Mike Young, who apparently you guys don't know.
But
Mike, you know, we talk about, what the hell am I talking about? I lost my train of thought.
Were you talking about his point of view in stand-up, or what he was doing?
No, were we talking about coming into
getting on the show.
What we were talking about before was recollections are different. And I don't think
you couldn't even recollect what you were recollecting.
This is what happens at 54.
So one good time to have a baby.
We were
talking about how one of the things that we do, you know, we obviously Victory, so we cover Entourage episodes. And when we would do the DVD commentary, it was 5 or 6 months after we shot the show.
Right.
So the memories are pretty fresh, and it was pretty cut and dry. But 18, 17, 16 years later, and this is what Doug and I were talking about, it's not that people aren't lying. Their just recollection is just wrong, but they believe that it was. And that's what happened with our friend Mike, is like making this claim. And it's like, well, that's impossible, because the guy wasn't on the show yet.
There wasn't a person there. But as I recall it, which I cannot recall whether I, and you guys seem to have
some. We'll give you our side of it, and we'll see. Let's
piece it together. All I recall, what I don't recall, is did I just write this twin story, or did Piven recommend you guys to me, and then I wrote it?
I think it's a combination of both. So here's what happened. So we love the show, and I think we
told our people, can you please get us in on something?
Keep your eyes open.
We'll go read for anything. One line, we'll go in.
So the role for Callan, Brian Callan's character,
he got his eyes done.
Yep. And Jeremy definitely recommended Brian. Yeah.
So he the role came for that, and I read for it. And I remember I got like kind of significantly far. Yeah. I was like right up to the end for that role. At the same time, there was a one-line role for Jason as one of the other agents where he's like, all your line was what?
I think it was something like,
what, no locks for the bagels, Ari?
Oh, yeah, I love that line.
It's a great line, right? Yeah, you guys wrote a great line. And I walk in, I'm like, okay, I got one line, which is sometimes harder to do than if you have a whole
By the way, what I meant was you delivered it great. I was not saying, oh, what a line. No, that's going to go down in history.
Most people don't understand. A lot of actors listen to the show. One line could be tricky.
It's tricky. And also, I was in the room with all the extras who were playing the agents when Ari's going to come in and just blow out the room. And I'm like, dude.
One of them was Anna Nicole Smith's ex-husband.
I remember that.
Gary Burkhard.
Yep. You remember that?
Sort of.
Yeah, he was.
He was in there. And
why was he there?
But
he
then
was an extra.
He was an extra, but then all that stuff happened later.
Yes.
So he was.
Wait, let's just remind everybody.
Nicole Smith had the baby.
Anna Nicole Smith was a playmate, like Marilyn Monroe type. I mean,
she's very famous. It was a very, very tragic.
Away.
She yeah.
married
tragic
like
story.
A 90-year-old
guy, took his money.
Right.
Okay. And Burkhart is before that.
No, he's after that. Okay. And he really loved her, and they were friends and whatever it was, but they had a baby together. That they had to go to the DNA test because people were saying God. It wasn't. But this guy was in the news all over the place. And then I'm watching the episode, I'm pausing it, that's definitely 100% him.
He
was
an extra.
He's trying to be an actor. Dating Anna Nicole Smith.
It's like the guy who dated J-Lo who was a dancer. Where's right. that guy?
So,
you know what I
so
mean?
So he's in the room.
Or
and
Rob, what was his name?
Rob Camaletti.
Yeah, Cher's boyfriend.
The bagel boy.
So they're all in this room and they're not giving the director like a good enough reaction to like, he's coming in, blowing them out. Like you got to like at least be alive. And so the director leaves. And I'm like, you guys, this shot is your shot. This is on
you're
you.
You're saying this to the extras?
I'm telling these
they
extras.
Took over.
I'm like look, I have one fucking line. I'm coming in. I'm doing it. This is your shot. You fucking get into it. You get ready. You're going to get your asses reamed. This is it.
React.
I should have let him direct over college.
This is why you're in Hollywood. This is why you're in the thing.
Because you never know what can happen.
By the way, that's a good moment for an extra.
Great moment. I said great moment. So I'm like, let's fucking do this. Like, are you ready? Are you ready?
Are you firing up the troops like that?
I'm like, are you nervous for this meeting? Because if he comes in here and rails, one of us is going to get fired. I'm like,
try to
like
improvise
before you get in there. And I'm talking to them, actually speaking to them when Piven walks in the room. And I like swing away from a conversation. I'm like, great, no locks for the bagels this morning, Ari. So I'm like mad at this person. Turn that anger onto him. He's like, shut the fuck up. Whatever his great brush off of me was. And then he goes on this epic rant, which was so fun to watch. And then that could have been your day. I get ready to leave. I'm like grabbing my bag. And the director's like, no. I think we can do something with you.
Who was the director? Do we know?
He was black.
Ken Whittingham.
Yes. Great. He was great. It was a great, great day. So much so, and we were in a hot, like, building on Sunset. It was right. back when the offices were there.
The 9,000.
Not even the...
No,
not,
we were at the 9,000.
The 9,000 building, yeah. Not at the studio.
Not the studio,
where
right.
you built these beautiful offices when Ari leaves. But so, you know, he's like, we'll do a bit where you're walking in the background of this other thing. And so they kept me on for the rest of the day to come do some other fun physical things. And I was like, this is it. And I was trying to explain that to them. But in essence, I was saying it to myself because right. I'm like, I have to make the most of the opportunity
yeah.
because you never know what it could turn into. And we're always like, get us in the door and then we'll show you what we can do. And yeah. we will elevate whatever is there to the next level.
So I think I did that, had fun with Piven. We hung out and he knew us.
And
I
we know that.
Stand-up.
Oh, so you weren't really friends with him.
No. So okay. we knew right. him, I think through the stand-up world right. and he was a fan and we've been doing it forever. And I think when we had a really fun day together and then my guess is I left and then either you were like, I'm thinking of maybe doing this or he was like, I think you should write something for him and his brother.
Right.
Because they're funny and they'd right. be good in the show. And then it got you to write this
thing. That episode was written and we were like, holy shit, because we watched the show and usually a great guest star has one or two scenes. That's it on this show. And with good reason, there's five guys of service and there's a lot of people, a lot of balls have to, you know, get put in the air in this thing and be held and cupped in a loving way. yeah. And so, you know, we realized and then we read through the script and we're like, holy shit,
we looked at each other and we're like, we're in this too much.
There's like seven great scenes in there for us.
By the way, I watched the episode this morning and not, no offense to anyone else. There are episodes where I can look at it and say they're not good. The stuff with you guys was the only good stuff in that episode. It's really like, it's the Gary's desk stuff. It's really like, I mean, you can tell it's like filler. We're tired. And this so, but
we
Mary J. Blige.
Mary J. Blige.
Mary J. was awesome.
Do you want to hear the best Mary J. story from this week? Yeah. From the week of this show? We still tell this story. It's one of my favorite stories.
So
ever.
Mary J. shows up to the set. I don't know if because you weren't in our
you
scene.
You weren't even out. We were so sad that we waited.
All we wanted to do was to hang with you guys. And you guys are off doing another storyline. All right. So we're in the offices. Mary J. shows up with her own entourage
of like the smartest, coolest people ever. I'm like, I was hanging out with all these other people. I'm like, I love everybody here. But you see Mary J. Blige and you're like, clearly no one in her entourage ever tells her no, which you should always have one person in your entourage who is a no man, who literally is on the payroll just to be like, don't do that.
Or,
Right. Eh.
Not yeah. a no mana.
Should I take this Perkins waitress into this parking lot? I've said, no Tiger Woods. No, I wouldn't do it, Tiger. Don't do it. Don't do it.
I probably don't do it.
I wouldn't do that.
I wouldn't do that.
I wouldn't do it, but, you know, anyway. So she shows up, and she's wearing, like, the slippers that you're only supposed to wear in the hotel out. On the set. We're like, no one told her when she walked us.
Those should be like a shopping cart when it goes like off the lot. They should start beeping and be like, get her back in.
And no one said it. People were just like, fine.
She's walking around the set in like Four Seasons slippers.
So we're like, okay, that's fine. Whatever. And so after we have great week with her. Great. And we even have that like one improvised line where I'm like, one love as the thing shutting on me. And I was like, one love, Mary. She loved it. Loved it. We had such a good time with her. And again, my character's name was Jim, and Jason's was Jeff. It's important to know that. Randy was Jim, Jason, Jeff.
No, I think I was Jim and you were Jeff.
Oh, shit, I don't even know. I was Jim and you were Jeff.
Right, Jeff. I was Jeff, you were Jim.
So I go up to Mary, because I didn't want to bother Mary the whole week. I just was like, let me be a professional. Let me do my job. Act like you've been in the end zone before, right? So I'm doing my thing. Finish up the week, and I'm like, all right, I can go tell her. I'm a huge fan, and I love her work, and thank you. So I go up to Mary, entourage all around. And I put my hand on her shoulder. I'm like, Mary, I just want to say thank you for your work. I love your music. You did a great job this week on the show. And it was an honor to work with you. And she looks at me, puts a hand on my shoulder.
Sincere.
Looks me in the eye and goes, thanks, Jim.
to which Jason said, it's Jeff.
Because I really couldn't
double correct her.
Bring
it's
her
Mary
back.
J. You can't be like, hey, this
I think
is,
she thought I worked there.
Yeah, we're like, we're not.
I think
Jim
she thought I was
Jeff.
An actual agent.
That's
we're
really
actual
funny.
Comedians. Who
you guys really it. Sold it. And just interject behind the scenes, Mary J. I was in the Beverly Hills Hotel, and Brett Ratner was with Mary J. Blige and said, Doug, Mary J. just wanted to say she loves Entourage and she'd love to be on the show. And I said, you're on the show.
Boom.
So that's how these things are.
NFL's opening week was action-packed, and it's just getting started. Get ready for week two of touchdowns, big plays, and even bigger wins with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. This week, new customers can bet just $5 on any football game and get $200 in free bets instantly. Want more action? Everyone can experience the thrill of DraftKings' early win promotion. It's simple. This Sunday, bet on any NFL team to win. If your team leads by 10 points at any point during the game, you get paid instantly, even if your team loses. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code VICTORYPOD to get $200 in free bets instantly when you place a $5 bet on any football game. That's code VICTORYPOD only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. But to your point, again, to actors listening, you know, if you'd have stuck your nose up at that line and that moment, it doesn't lead to these other things, which I think people have a hard time with. That's let their egos get in the way and say, well, I'm not going to do this or I'm not going to do that, when you never know what it's going
to
lead to.
100%. It led to so much, and it was so great and so memorable. And I'll never forget, you told us, you were like, and you were so great to us throughout the whole week. You were like, you guys are fucking killing it. You guys are crushing it. And oh, by the way, people are going to be coming up to you for years, for the next decade,
true,
being like, I loved you. Not they still do.
Awesome.
They still do. People come up, and we've done a ton of stuff.
The best is someone will come up to me and be like, did you fuck your brother's wife?
I'm like, you mean our characters on Entourage?
Yeah.
It was mine who did it to his. But
then I am the
can
one
you
who
please
got
clarify
fired.
That? My kid is somewhere around here. Exactly.
We were getting word on our version of the set that you guys were tearing it up, right? That's so, because so it's so, it does. It would be, the world would become so separated, right? Where it's like, you know, Gary Cole, we had on the show a couple weeks ago. I never met Gary Cole. I mean, like, we were in a scene together with 82 people, but we never had a scene with Gary Cole. And it just, sitting there, you go like, wow, you know? So there really were kind of two
sort shows.
Of worlds there, right? And I we could, but there would be reports from the other other whether it was
better,
you know,
step
dog,
up your
cup,
game. The twins are crushing it.
The twins
so
are killing it.
But I mean, that's our thing. We're always like, how do we step in and
can we be more than just a sight gag? We know we can act. We know we can be funny and do justice to the show, a show that we love. So can we come in and be good enough that they're like, thanks for.
That was a memorable episode.
That's not a sight gag either. That's
a
real storyline.
Oh, they had a real storyline. Yeah. And the truth is, you guys do it. Because I know Connolly today, you know, you have guests on a podcast. You don't know what you're going to get. You don't know who's going to step up. And we've done, we normally do one. We've done three already today.
Oh my God.
And you guys.
I'm going out of town for a couple of weeks. And we're banking
it. But you guys are awesome and able to, you know, like we don't have to do much. Which
I was
going to
say, this is amazing. Yeah. I wish more guests. So yeah, sometimes you're sitting there like pulling teeth. It's like, oh my God.
But by the way, I could tell Colin's right. By the way, all right, I need these guys at Action Park.
None of this. That's the first time ever I've just stepped off the microphone.
I love it.
I'm just listening.
It's like watching a show. No, you guys are very good, and you were good on the show, and it was fun as hell. So any other because I love that Mary J story. Is there anything else you remember from that?
So Beverly D'Angelo was on our set.
She's awesome.
She's awesome and crazy and phenomenal, and just like
she just had twins, so her twins were like young.
I remember that. Jesus Christ. I remember that.
She was like fascinated by us. About
she was amazing.
You were like an experiment.
Oh yeah, she was like, so this is what they're going to be in the future.
Yeah. It was so
funny.
By the
way, you never want to say twins and experiment to a couple of Jews. Like, we always like to keep that separate. But she was, and again, I mean, growing up, vacation.
By the way,
we all, I'm
sitting here listening. We have all the similar sensibilities and the favorites of the movies. Sure. I'm the same way. I mean, so Beverly D'Angelo and Vacation.
By the way,
I thought she was so gorgeous.
Like, she takes
so
her.
Beautiful.
Beverly, you see her boobs.
Beverly's as hot as can be.
She's the first naked woman I saw in a movie.
Thank you.
And Beverly, she sent me a video with Chevy like 2 months ago. They did a convention, a vacation.
Oh my God.
She sent me, Chevy was like my idol growing up, and you know, so but Beverly, you know, she was at my house with Harvey actually for the screening of our pilot, and she goes deep, you know. So but I love that she's talking to you like so
obsessed.
Tell me
obsessed
about
what's like, what's it like, what's what are you, how, what's your relationship. So we loved her. I mean, and truthfully, Jay just did a movie with Piven and like, so
the Sweetwater movie, he plays Nick's head coach, and I played a referee, and this is another moment where like,
wait, is this the Jamie Foxx thing or
no? No, this is, it's a different fit. It's a different Cary Elwes is in it. All and right. It's about the first black basketball player to have a contract in the NBA.
Okay.
And he came from the Globetrotters. Fascinating. And Piven plays the coach. He played for the Knicks. It's really, really good.
Like, yeah.
Who else is in Mr. Holland's Opus? What am I?
Oh, Richard Dreyfuss.
Richard Dreyfuss is in it.
Dick Dreyfuss.
Almost. Oh my God.
Yeah, he actually would have made it to the screen. It was a tough week.
Ooh, wow.
But I wrote it for him too, because I love Richard Dreyfuss.
He was amazing. He's in this movie too. But again, Piven and I, like, that was a great moment. And from our Entourage days, from knowing that we could play, and he understood that, like, from what we did on the set, this is a guy who can play. We have this huge argument scene on the court. In this thing, and me as the ref, and I'm threatening to kick him out. And I'm like, say it. I want you to say one more word and you are gone. And he's starting to say it. And he says something else as I'm walking away and I come back. I'm like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. And we start going at each other. And he knew I could hang and play. And then we're improvising. And it's
awesome.
We're off. What was so great about that is the next day, Cary Elwes, who plays the owner of the team, he's like, great. I want to do, he's I want to him. He's like, I want an argument scene with
I
this
want
guy.
To argue with this guy.
And I'm like, yes. But that, that's the thing. It's like, let us show you what we can do.
I love it. I love it. And by the way, my recollections are now becoming clear. Brian Callen was Jeremy's friend.
Right.
That he told me to cast and that I should cast. You guys, I think it was just exactly what you're saying. You read for something, you came in, and then I found out you had twins, and we said, that's a great story.
We should do that. And you guys had enough trust in us that you're like, these guys can handle it. I mean, I think you probably did research on to other stuff that we had done and said, these guys can handle it. If we write like a significant one, they're not going to bring the show down.
Yeah.
Right.
Which, you know.
You really did. You brought that episode up. It really is the story.
Well, it needed it.
It feels like it. Honestly, it does. It feels
our storyline was the guy's storyline. That was a little out there.
Yeah,
it's a little out there. So you guys read that?
It was. And
really, guys,
we'll break down that episode. But I don't know if you remember. Like, you're going to Variety, you get an ad, and it's just
we're
feels
starting
like
the Murphy
filler.
Group, and the guys buy me a desk as a present.
Right, just, Gary Busey's desk. Yeah. You got to get it from Gary. Get it from Busey.
Which, by the way, yes, you guys. You talk about handling your business as opposed to. Have you ever worked at Gary?
No, but I mean, I probably walked by a park where he was taking a shit on the park bench, which happened recently.
I mean, he did the podcast about 2 years ago, and. It was, we couldn't get him out of here.
But an unbelievable actor early in the days before his whatever set
and
in.
And he did
like
have
an incredible actor.
Listen, he was in a coma.
He's got major, I mean, obviously.
Major brain stuff.
Exactly. Again, I didn't go to college like you guys, but guys got issues, right? I mean, it's
but
like,
again, can we just for a second just talk about what an unbelievable actor he was in the prime of his acting career. Like someone you looked at,
an Oscar nominee.
Oscar nominee, and well worth it. And just, you know, those probably all the things that made him great as an actor in those moments, he just went just over the edge.
Did you know that they passed the California helmet motorcycle law because of Gary Busey?
Did they really?
Yeah. After the accident.
He's like Will Chamberlain.
Yeah. You know, but by the way, also, Gibson. And also not to speak, because there's no excuses for the behavior, unfortunately. Nothing to say. None. But you guys are sports guys, and the fact is he did suffer serious head injuries, and I'm sure that has to do with partly have to do with some of his problems today.
When you describe his situation, his scenario, again, I'm like, I choose to think about what's happening now is not great. I choose to think about him back in the the day and what
but
he said.
But the day on Entourage, by the way, he used to chase Connolly around, trying to pin him down on the ground. It was
He's a sweet guy. He's just, I think he's got brain damage. And again, it's not excusing it. I mean,
he shouldn't be allowed out, is really what the
or heavily watched.
Yeah. He should. Ankle bracelets. So, all right. Well, this was awesome. I mean,
you guys
got to
watch
Echoes. Anything else you want to
watch?
So, we're going to watch Echoes in number two, and your audience will love this. So, we did this show Cheap Seats, and it was back in the day. It was like Mystery Science Theater with the old weird sporting events on ESPN Classic.
Like
77 episodes.
Like bull riding.
Beard and mustache championships, cheerleading competitions.
Did you guys come up with that idea?
So we kind of developed that idea with ESPN. This is way back 2002 to 2010.
Kind of around the time that we did the show.
So it was huge back then, and it's the thing, one of the things that people just are like, you got to bring it back, you got to bring it back. And we've been waiting for the right opportunity. Finally, UFC, which is as big as it gets. You guys did storylines with Chuck Liddell.
By the way, I saw
and Ronda Rousey
yesterday. Scotty and I would stop. We'll just have a drink on the way
billboard.
Home. Sat down at the bar at Justin Queso's. There's one person at the bar, Chuck Liddell.
Nah,
I had a half hour conversation with him yesterday.
Nice.
Yeah,
it's crazy. So we basically got an opportunity to do that show, Cheap Seats, but for the UFC with their old weird footage from like UFC 1 and the first episode of The Ultimate Fighter and all that stuff, where we're doing a running commentary and then sketches and comedy. So that is out now. It's available on UFC Fight Pass. We did 6 episodes, but the first episode is free on YouTube. You can watch it on UFC's YouTube
page. And how to get UFC Fight Pass?
Fight Pass, you just subscribe to it.
It's a streamer.
It's a streamer. It's like the biggest combat sport library ever, and it's just amazing. So if you're like a fan, you're like, I want to see this fight from 10 years ago.
I want to see all of Ronda Rousey's fights. I want to see everything. I want to see the UFC
first John Jones fight. So it's actually a really cool thing. And the fact that they're taking a swing on such a comedy, which we do the commentary and then we pop out and do sketches. Here's who did it this past time. John Hamm, Andy Richter, Tony Hale, Emmy Award winner Rob Corddry, Marilyn Rice Cup, amazing people. You're going to do it if we get to do it next time. We'll write something for you to do in there.
Did you guys ever see Conan the Barbarian?
The original?
The original with Schwarzenegger?
Yeah.
Do you know that's where they got the octagon from?
Really?
Are you serious?
Guys, can I just want to hold the beat on this. I'm not saying you're wrong. Conley throws out a lot of information that's sometimes not true. Like Jeff Garlin is best friends with the lead singer of REO Speedwagon.
We interviewed Jeff Garlin, pulled it off the Wikipedia page.
Kevin Cronin?
No. I pulled it off the Wikipedia page that he was friends with the guy.
He claimed Dustin Hoffman was an extra in Star Wars.
He was.
Not true.
He was not an extra.
He wasn't an Ewok?
He's pretty small. Yeah, there was a time when like a little land speeder walked by and it almost hit him and he was like, which is, hey, I'm walking here.
He was an extra. You want to bet? We talked about this.
Yeah. No, people have sent me the DMs.
People sent you
Dustin
the DMs.
Hoffman was an extra?
He was an uncredited extra in Star Wars.
He
was a fan of THX. He was a fan of THX 138. He was on the lot doing something.
That is
and
hilarious.
He said, I want to be...
no one else besides Connolly can verify this yet. I'm not going to argue.
Connolly? It's almost like...
I believe him. That's the point. That's the new world, by the way.
By
the way, that's 2022. You're not lying. You actually believe what you're saying.
Right. He believes.
Do you think I made that up about the octagon?
I know you didn't make it up. I'm not sure.
Let's get
your sources are accurate. It might be, by the way.
It is.
I don't know.
Remember when he's fighting, going through the fighting thing? That's where they got the octagon from.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Right. I just love that we brought it out. Like anyone hasn't seen Conan. He's like, you ever, you guys
I just knew that
with
you
an
guys
actor
would
named
know,
Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Course, I know that you guys would know.
We know it.
Who wrote Conan the Barbarian? Anybody know that?
I do know that. That's someone big.
Oliver Stone.
Did he really? Conan the Barbarian. By the way, not a lot of...
Am I making that up?
Not a lot of dialogue in
there. Am I making that up?
It's probably great.
Better not be. Scott, is anyone in the booth anymore? Scotty, is that true? Because I really don't know that, which is weird.
Somebody Google something.
Somebody Google something.
I mean, I don't need the answer on the Octagon right now, but did Oliver Stone write Conan the Barbarian?
I don't think
so.
Guys, is it true? I believe you. Look, he's very convicted. He believes it. Look it up, Rand. Meanwhile, while he's looking it up, The Nosebleeds is the name of our show. So just watch that. The Nosebleeds.
Okay.
It's pure comedy.
That's it. Well, everybody can fact check me all you want. I'm pretty sure I'm 3 for 3.
We got Scotty checking this out.
Milius and Oliver Stone.
Oh!
You know what? I fucking knew John Milius wrote it, actually.
He directed it.
Okay, but I knew he wrote it. Oliver Stone probably did a pass.
What do you think the what do you think the IMDb rating for Conan the Barbarian is out of 10?
6.8. 6.9.
Oh! Now, what do you think the IMDb rating of our old show Cheap Seats was on there? Okay, I'm going to give you a chance.
8.2.
And then we'll do Entourage. Because we should.
Entourage, before a bunch of PC motherfuckers started changing it, we were like in the nines.
You guys were high.
I mean, really high. It's like 8.2, there's some clowns who got on that.
6.7. We're like, what the hell? I thought we were better than that.
It's not, you know what? You can't trust that nonsense anymore. Yeah. You know,
I'm going to look up Entourage because I bet it's in the high eights, maybe low nines still.
And there's a large portion of people just go after the Jews, whatever they can do.
Entourage, is it at its highest?
I mean,
well, or what it is now?
What do you think it is right now?
I'm going to say 8.8.
No, 7.2.
What do you think, Jay?
I think 8.3, 8.5.
Oh, 8.5. You can't be mad at that.
I'm not mad at that at all.
You can't be mad at that.
I'm not mad at it, but it used to be a 9.2.
Without the movies, it's in the 9. And little known fact, Kevin Connolly was playing Vince when we started the show, and we decided to change it. No, that's not true. That's not true, but I believe it's like
Oliver Stone did write
all the dialogue.
By the way, he is so relieved that Oliver Stone wrote Conan.
Oh, he knew it.
There's no way Dustin Hoffman was in Star Wars.
There is. Okay, well, you can be wrong about that, too. But if you, there's a documentary about the guy that started the UFC, and he said it. They wanted to do something different than the boxing ring.
Sounds
the guy was a fan.
Possible, yeah.
Sounds possible.
It's okay. Amazing that that's what it is. It's amazing how far it's come. You know, because the early days were just insane, and that's what we're making fun of.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like when the movie came out, I saw Ronda Rousey on Jim Rome.
Yeah,
and to think where she went from the time, because I called Warner Brothers, I said I'm changing the script, I'm making this. They said, "Who is that? We don't want that. We don't." By the time the movie came out, she was bigger than Entourage.
Enormous. Yeah. She's enormous. Yeah. I love Jim Rome, by the way.
Yeah, Jim Rome's great. So, all right. Well, you guys are awesome. And
Thank you. I think you saved our day.
So this
I love it. Thank you guys. This is awesome.
And we're guests with energy like that. It's amazing.
And you know what? We're going to have both you guys on Dumb People Town. I know you guys are doing a ton of stuff, but who cares? We'll be back in the movie.
I'm happy to do it. You don't have to make me feel good.
Absolutely. Pull his leg.
As long as I can talk and not write, I'm happy.